We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Greetings and welcome to a further edition of My Music with its usual contestants, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton versus John Amis and Frank Muir. Here's a first round of identification with a hint to help you in each case. Ian Wallace, I hope you enjoy identifying this. His Majesty, at any rate, seems to be enjoying himself. Ian.
Well, if His Majesty's enjoying himself, it's obviously got nothing to do with King's Cross.
No, that's true enough. It's not the 525 to Newton, no.
Le Roi s'amuse.
S'amuse is correct, yes, indeed, vraiment, yes. Ballet music, Le Roi s'amuse. The Galliard from it. Do you happen to know the composer's name?
No, it's one of these sort of Herald or something like
no,
that.
No, it's an anagram on decibel.
Oh, Delibes.
You get your mark, though, for saying, well, what's amusing.
Well, I think I'm very lucky.
Better than I did, too. Dennis, music of a different kind. Is the daughter of a preacher man formerly at Bethel Baptist Church, Detroit. Who is she, do you know?
No. Is that clue that she's somebody like Mahalia Jackson or something?
Well, rather like a slightly later generation, yes. Similar, soul singer.
Yes,
the one, that's right.
I always think that this girl's name, that they wanted a son called Arthur, but they got a daughter, so they called her Aretha.
Aretha
Franklin.
Franklin, yes, gets you the mark. Fair enough. John Amis, Beecham called this one of his French lollipops. A well-known tune, to be sure, isn't it?
Yes, a very well-known tune, isn't it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. And its title?
Is it a passe-pied?
It is rather, isn't it? Yes.
It's not called a passe-pied.
Well, it comes from something.
Comes from something. It's one of those sort of sweet sweets.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Or a ballet suite.
Or hence lollipop.
Is it? It's
a
not
ballet
Delibes,
suite.
Though.
Yes, it is. Delibes, yes.
Good Lord.
Title, please.
No idea.
Le Roi s'amuse. It's the same. It's the same exactly as Ian's.
Rotten trick.
Half a mark. Why not? Half a mark. Frank, can you place
Le Roi s'amuse?
No. In your case, Frank, can you place the song and the singer? It's Liza's mother singing about life as Sykes's girlfriend.
As long as he.
Yes, it's Judy Garland.
That's right.
Rather sort of not nearly as good as Georgia Brown.
You know why I said Sykes's girlfriend, though?
Yeah, because it was Bill Sykes's girlfriend in Oliver.
Yes.
Lionel Bart.
Well, anyway, you've got the bark, and on to the next round. Ian, what is the connection between Peggy Hookham of Ealing and Madame Roberto de Arias?
Oh, one and the same.
They are, in fact,
Dame Margot Fontaine,
who was originally Peggy Hookham of Ealing, yes. So, you've got a mark, and this round is obviously about ballet. Dennis, who wrote a ballet score called London Morning?
Ah, I did a programme on this book. And actually, if I remember, I got the information from Sheridan Morley's book on Noel Coward.
Yes.
Where he wasn't very complimentary about this ballet.
Not many people were.
No. He said it, something about, I don't, I probably got it wrong, about it, it's something to do with the fact that it sounded more like it was ordered by American Express rather than Festival Ballet.
I didn't know that. Mm. Anyway, it was, as you said, Sir Noel Coward, as he later became. The ballet was orchestrated by Gordon Jacob. The premiere was at the Royal Festival Hall, as you indicated, in 1959. John, there's a ballet called Bar aux Folies Bergères, as well as the painting, of course, of that name. Who composed the music?
Didn't compose the music for the ballet, did he? Chabrier.
Chabrier, yes. Emmanuel Chabrier is correct. That's right. The painting, do you happen to know by... Frank, who's the painting by?
What, Bar aux Folies Bergères?
Yes.
By an impressionist.
Edouard Manet.
Manet, it's
in the Courtauld Institute
Manet.
In London. Not to John. Frank, do you know Pamela May?
Yes.
You do? Right. Pamela May was one of the great Sadler's Wells prima ballerinas, along with Moira Shearer, Violetta Elvin, Beryl Gray, and many others. All of them wore, Frank, the tutu. What's the origin of that word?
Ladies' drawers, or knickers, or whatever you care to call them, didn't really come into use until the 19th century, because they were thought of as a male garment. They were like trousers, and therefore were biblically an abomination. And one of the pioneers of this sort of undergarment was a ballet dancer called Mademoiselle Camargo, who was one of the pioneers of a sort of modern-style ballet around about 1735. And she invented the entrechat à quatre, which meant that she rose in the air about 14 or 15 inches while her toes made like an egg beater. And and she wore skirts dangerously high, possibly about 4 or 5 inches above the ankle. So in order to cover any eventuality, she pioneered a garment which were called caleçon de précaution, which was one of the first female drawers. And until Monsieur Maillot, at the early part of the 19th century, invented tights and the skirt then could be quite separate, the ballet dancer's costume was a kind of panty with tulle sewn round it, and that was a tutu.
So you don't know, eh? Anyway, you get the mark. Well, over to the piano now. Not for one of the piano medleys, but for some musical phrases that are better known when played on other instruments. In fact, woodwind instruments. Flute, oboe, clarinet, and bassoon, respectively. Flute, oboe, clarinet, bassoon. Ian, where, or perhaps one might say when, would you expect to hear a flute play this? And so on.
Except that that's a very beautiful phrase. It slightly reminds me of one time when I was a little boy and I was ill, and my mother went out and bought a novelty that she found, which were postcards, that had a gramophone record on them. Unfortunately, it got damaged in transit, and it went, "Landlord, fill the flowing, bowling, 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 bowling." as it was a wind-up gramophone. Yes. So I presume, obviously, that the record hasn't stuck on that. No, I have to confess that...
In all fairness, it does go a bit faster, doesn't it?
It goes a bit faster. It's such a pretty phrase, isn't it, that? It's such a pretty phrase. Da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-da-da-dee-dee. At its proper tempo, Ian, it goes like this. I said, where or when might you hear that? The answer is daybreak. It's Lever du jour from the second Daphne and Chloe suite by Ravel. Can't be with a mark there.
No.
Dennis, I think you'll know this oboe phrase. At the end there.
I might even know this. Is that the that piano concerto?
Yes, by...
Well, that's the Rachmaninoff.
Yes, Rachmaninoff, yes, from the last movement. Yes, I thought you'd call it Full Moon and Empty Arms, as its pop version, isn't it?
Yeah, I only recognise it when right at the very end there, actually. It got into the tune a bit, didn't it?
Well, yes. At the end there, I played... and I missed out... bum, 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 bum. And then the B-flat. The missing notes are because the oboe can't play a bottom B-flat, and Rachmaninoff added the violas as well at that point. So the oboe is playing the tune, but he drops out for a few odd notes. This is how it sounds in actual recording. Meld in together, the violas and the oboe.
Once upon a time at a summer school, a girl appeared and she'd made a jumper and she had the opening notes of that tune written right across her bosom. And there was an awful lot of score reading done that day.
John, it's your turn to the clarinet. We're working our way down through the woodwind section. Where might you expect to hear this, John?
At daybreak.
Yes. Where?
And the borough.
Well, yes, actually, because it's from...
Peter Grimes.
Yes, the sea interludes. Very, very clarinetish music. Here's the clarinet playing it. And so on. Frank, a bassoon part for you. The bassoon part only. What tune would you expect to hear on top of this? Well, you could do, I suppose. You could
thank
also...
you, full marks.
You could also, yeah. You could also hear now. But what I would expect to hear would be this.
The cygnets forming into a ring.
Yes. While I was gardening the other day, gentlemen, or rather conducting my wife who was gardening, I was reflecting on how many songs there are to do with flowers and plants. Roses of Picardy, We'll Gather Lilacs, Little Buttercup, When Iris Eyes Are Smiling, and so on. Let's see if you can think of a song or another piece of music suitable as a signature tune for a gardener. Something perhaps to introduce a television programme about gardening. For a change, I thought we'd give Ian and Dennis a moment or two to think about it and start with John and Frank. John, a signature tune for a gardener, gardening programme?
You just played the Peter Grimes, and I've been listening to a lot of Britain this week, and there's a very sad, elegiac warning to gardeners, if I can sing it. Could you give me a quint?
Oh,
Peter Quint.
Any quint. A quint.
Oh, Rose, thou art sick. The invisible worm that flies in the night, in the howling storm, has found out thy bed of crimson joy.
And his dark secret love does thy life destroy.
Lovely. A mark to you.
Frank, you've had plenty of time to think, haven't you?
I've been writing furiously and drawing. I've drawn a yacht. But that's irrelevant.
No help.
I think if it's if the programme is specialist and is just on normal sort of garden maintenance, it could be sing as we ho, and watch the world goodbye. Sing as we ho, say goodbye to bindweed. Or if it's Sunday morning mowing, then I think a bit of Wagner, Lohengrin. I think for a general gardening program, as far as my garden is concerned, is mud, mud, glorious mud, nothing quite like it.
That may be a little hard on Ian, we'll see. Ian, had you thought of that or had you thought of something else?
No, well, I always think of that. Of little else. I can only think of the old music hall song, which is not really a sig tune for a gardening program, but more a proposal from one gardener to another. The old music hall song, if I could plant a tiny seed of love in the garden of your heart,
yes,
etc.
Yes, indeed, yes. Nice, very neat. Dennis, have you come up with a gardening song?
Well, I'm really not a gardener, and anything to do with my lawn, and what kind of fool am I would fit it, but the rest of the garden, I would think, can't we fork it over?
As all listeners to this series well know, Ian Wallace is blessed not only with a fine singing voice, but an instantly recognisable speaking voice, too. Right, Ian?
That is true, Stephen.
You see, instantly recognisable. Ian, recognising singers, then, can you, for your part, identify these two? The lady keeps calling the man Peter, and that's rather a heavy clue.
Yes, well, I think it's just quite possible that the lady, at least, would be listening to this programme, because she once told me that she rather enjoyed listening to this.
Good.
And it is obviously Joan Cross.
That's right, and Peter somebody.
yes, can't quite recall, but I think it's something to do with Piers.
Yes, don't bother about that. You've got your marks, because other people are to be asked other things about this.
Oh.
Dennis.
I thought it was Peter and Lee.
Dennis, this is Joan Cross again from Act 3 of Peter Grimes.
Good.
Dennis, speaking as a refugee from my word, who wrote the poem on which that opera was based, and where was he born?
It was a man called George Crabbe.
That's right. Yes. And he was born?
Yes. Well, he was born he was born somewhere around that way.
Yes.
And the poem I was given to us when I was at school as an antidote, as it were, to Goldsmith's Deserted Village, because it's a much more realistic, a much more melancholy version of that same kind of rural scene.
Yes. in a similar sort of period, relatively later, I suppose. Yes, Aldborough, indeed, was where he was born, in Suffolk, too much to you. John, this old but remarkable recording was made actually on the stage at Sadler's Wells in the year 1933. It's Joan Cross again. John, she was singing Rest Thee With Me. Rest who with whom?
Sounds like Wagner.
Yes, that's right.
And I think it must be Elsa singing of Lohengrin.
Yes, that's right. Frank, again, Joan Cross. That's from Act 3 of a certain opera.
Yes.
A travelling circus. May I go on?
Yes,
may I go on? May I go on?
He's written the answer down. So.
Right. What's the answer?
It's the Barter Bride about a travelling circus, and do go on.
Well, I feel foolish now.
It's quite rightly, but carry it on.
Well, all right. A travelling circus, a dancing lesson, the identifying of a lost son, a drunkard playing the role of a dancing bear. Comes from the opera The Bartered Bride. Who wrote it, Frank?
Smetner.
Oh, you knew that too,
I
did
knew
you?
That.
Right.
Yeah,
there,
no,
enough, too
he knows which side his bride is bartered.
So to the final round, and a quartet of philosophical songs. Popular songwriters, especially around about the 1930s, were very free with their advice about how to live, how to conduct your life. Give this, they would say. Be that. Don't forget to do something else. So, Dennis, you first. How should you avoid getting a cold and ruining your tum-tum?
It's awful. Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. Yes. And there's eating an apple every day, and then there's that whimsical bit in the middle about, ooh, ooh. Yes. You'll catch cold or something, cold in your tumbler. Not a very good song.
Not a very good song, no, but a very long-lasting one.
Yeah.
You'd agree. Button up your overcoat, Mark, to you. John, a philosophical moment from you, The Gift to Be Simple.
Ah, yes. An American song, Shaker song. Yeah. Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight, when true simplicity is gained, to bow and bend we'll shan't be ashamed, to turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round right. 'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free, 'tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight.
Nice.
Yes. Given a rather grandiose treatment in Aaron Copland's ballet, Appalachian Spring.
Ah, yes. But nicely done there. Simply done. The gift to be simple. Frank, a lot of songs begin with the word don't. Don't be angry. Don't forget the old folks at home. And one from the turn of the century, which I rather like, don't get married anymore, Ma. Could you manage one about not getting enclosed or fenced in? Yes, thank you.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, and a starry sky above. Don't fence me in. Oh, let me ride in the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Oh, let me ride to the ridge where the blue commences. Drink bourbon whiskey till I lose my senses. Give me me shotgun and me contact lenses. Don't fence me in.
Yes. I always thought that was Cole Porter's worst poem until you came to the contact lenses bit. That was his best line ever. Can't believe that Cole Porter would write Under Starry Skies Above, but I suppose it's a parody, isn't it, really, Dennis? Ian, what should one do when suffering from an attack of dull care?
Oh, yes. Perhaps I should emphasise before we begin this that what is referred to is, of course, fizzy lemonade.
When dull care does attack you, drinking will those clouds repel. All good bottles will make you happy, they rarely fail. A fifth should be wanted, ask the gods, 'twill be granted, then you'll easily obtain a remedy for your pain. If a fifth should be wanted, ask the gods, 'twill be granted, then you'll easily obtain a remedy for your pain.
Well, I hope your cares have been slightly dulled by this programme. A victory, a very tiny victory, though, for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreier.